ແລະທາງກະຊິນຍິມມາມັນເດດີແຈເສລາລືສໍດິມມາດີກໍຊິຊາຈະອັນນີ້ດີກໍສະດັງໂຕຍິຈິກະຈັງຊິຊິມຍໍາເລນຈາຕາຈິມບາຕາສຸດິມຈາຊາດາຈັງຊິມຍໍາເລນຈາຕາກໍນີ້ຈິກະຕົນແລງກໍນາກໍຈິດິນິກິອັນນີ້ຍິນດີຍິນດີຍາຈິດິນິກິອັນນີ້ເສມສັງບໍ່ຈຽຈະອັນນີ້ຈິມາຊິຈິນດິນຈິໂຊຍິວາຈັມບາລາສໍມານີ້ຈັງຊິຊິມກໍມຍາດີດິນິກໍຈິກະຊິ
Good evening to everyone. So, last time we met, we were then finishing the text 37 practices to a bodhisattva, 37 practices of a bodhisattva. And so in that text we looked at a number of topics, in particular the various practices of a bodhisattva that were presented in terms of the six perfections, and before that the cultivation of the mind of bodhicitta itself, as well as the presentation on emptiness. And we spoke about the variety of meditations that we need to engage in on a daily basis so that we too can become kind-hearted and we too can eventually give rise to this this precious mind of bodhicitta ourselves. And tonight we now start a new text. The new text is by Arya Nagarjuna, and it's a letter that he wrote to a king. So this is a text we know as Letter to a Friend. As we heard when we were studying the 37 practices, someone who's aspiring to attain the paths of a bodhisattva, to develop the mind of bodhicitta in their own continuum, they will engage, they'll start out with engaging in practices such as cultivating the minds of love and compassion and developing this mind of bodhicitta and eventually giving rise to bodhicitta. And to do this, they will the practitioner will retreat to a solitary place and engage in the cultivation of these minds. When the bodhicitta has arisen in a powerful and stable manner, then the bodhisattva will return to society and engage with beings, trying to benefit beings in any way possible, in particular through teaching the Dharma, but really trying to interact with people in a beneficial way at every possible opportunity. So this is how bodhisattvas practice, and this is what we looked at in some detail in our previous text. Now tonight we start with a new text. And so this was written for a different audience. So this text was composed for a friend of Nagarjuna who was a king. And so being a king, he was busy. He had many activities that he had to engage in on a daily basis, and he was constantly coming into contact with people. So here, this letter was written by Nagarjuna as advice to his friend the king in terms of how to practice whilst engaging with others. So during his numerous activities and meetings and encounters with others, how to practice the Buddha Dhamma. And so that is for that purpose, to instruct the king in this situation, Nagarjuna composed this text.
Minyamdu lega le du kabla karasne yebo di ane gidi na mimanyamdu che ane zamzam mimana chike lumbo digi yongya ge dondala lega mangbo lego wore ane mimana nyamdu te chen te chubo ra jebje dine ganga chidu ane chike chubo digi pa cham suya dan ane chike jichewa de lega mangbo chayo rwa nyema yebo liya dine ane yebi lega liya ane jika zamzam control lang ya dang a dine kang a chay dang mongbo junggu yoba yinza ane gomulur ki deli ya ane kyora dine chidu ane dus samla dine dang kore dine chene yakbo yores ane dus chigyo mares dine chene kang a yunggu re say jima da labja lama so nang hazu ki dus nang goro wa nang a jine jika a chay yige chi dus puyar wa.
As we can imagine, kings are busy with a number of important responsibilities. They will engage in trying to improve the situation of their people and their country, trying to solve problems and maybe conflicts between communities or neighboring states. So they have quite some responsibility. And to fulfill this responsibility well, they will have to engage with many activities, constantly be surrounded by people, advisors, people with difficulties, etc. So in these kinds of troubling situations, or in these kinds of situations, it's very easy for afflicted minds, such as anger and the like, to arise. So Nagarjuna composed this text understanding the situation, the particular situation of the king and his subjects, and so he composed this text for the king as to instruct him on how to practice the Buddha Dhamma whilst engaging with others. Now, I imagine there's no one sitting here who's of royal descent, or who's a king or a queen. However, everyone here is busy. Everyone's got many activities, and moreover, one isn't living in isolation away from others, but rather engaging with people all throughout one's day. So this text is, and the advice given in this text is directly applicable to all of us.
The
king for whom Nagarjuna composed this text, he was a Buddhist. He had interest in practicing the Buddha Dhamma, and therefore he had come to know Nagarjuna, so they had a friendship. And then he made a request to Nagarjuna to compose this text, and he did this as a student of Nagarjuna's. And then the first two lines of the text we don't have here in our printout, but it's okay. The first is the name of the text in Sanskrit. So I'll try. It's Suhi de la Deleka. So something like this, and then in Tibetan, it's Shepe Chungik.
Yeah. That Shepe Chungik, that is Shepa, 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 Sanskrit is a very good thing. It 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 is a very good thing.
Then the etymology of this title in Tibetan, so it has two main syllables, She and Ching. So She is usually part of the word for spiritual friend, so that's the usual meaning. However, it has a second meaning, and the Sanskrit word is specific to that meaning, and that would be more of someone that is you are a friend with, rather than being someone that you have that is your spiritual teacher. Then the second syllable, Ching. So this is a letter, and here it has the context of a letter being sent or a letter being written. So hence we have the translation of letter to a friend.
The
first line that we have here, which is at the top of the page like a heading, is which I'll just read from here, homage to the gentle and glorious youth, Mantra Ghosha. So this could have been written either by Nagarjuna or the translator into the Tibetan language. And then again, let's just read the first verse, which for us should start. Listen now to these few lines of noble song. As always, the order in the English and the Tibetan sometimes matches, but not always. So we start here with, for us, which is the part of the second line. So here, the Nagarjuna is indicating that he's writing this letter for the king. So what we have here is fit for good, or maybe we could translate as worthy of virtue. This is referring to the king, and the king is being described by Nagarjuna as someone who is worthy of virtue, in that he has interest in the Buddha Dharma, and moreover, not just an academic interest in the Buddha Dharma, but he has the heartfelt wish to engage in the practice of the Buddha Dharma, or in other words, to cultivate the mind of the Buddha Dharma within himself. So therefore, Nagarjuna is referring to the king as worthy of virtue, or fit for good.
And ちゃんと手間ちんばらみじんば、あのまんぼ送しゃぎ、送しゃぎ、さんじ送、ま、せぎ、じゃじゃでけ、にばちんぼ、あの送ってけ、にんぼしゃだりゃ、あのにんぼ、でにげさんじ送。だでにげ、でにげ送しゃぎ、さんじ送しゃぎ、でにげ送なねぎ、あの、じゃじゃでけば、でしゃねちょらばたんぎ、そうだ。ちぎりやぎなら、じゃじゃでかれらな。
Looking at the fourth line here, the sacred words of he who's gone to bliss. So as we can see from the capital letters, this refers to the Buddha. And so the Buddha taught a vast number of sutras. And so within the sutras, there were all the practices that are required for beings of the either the small capacity, middling or great capacity, all their practices to engage in to achieve their respective results. So Nagarjuna is writing the text here based on the sutras. And he's covering the, and he's going to cover as a subject matter the results of the being of the small of the three scopes or the three capacities. So the result that is driven for by beings of the small capacity, in other words, namely a good rebirth, a rebirth as a god or as a human. And also will be covered is how to attain liberation from the suffering of samsara, which is the goal of the being of middling capacity. And of course, the goal of the being of great capacity, full enlightenment, that too will be covered here within this letter. So here what we can see is Nagarjuna is using some skillful means, because this letter is writing to a king, so someone of quite some importance. So it starts out by praising the king, and praising the king because of the king first of all being a Buddhist, and then moreover having interest in the Buddha Dharma, and an interest to practice the Buddha Dharma. So here Nagarjuna is starting out by praising the king, and this is probably done with the assumption that the king, being praised, will be pleased, and being pleased, he will have interest in this text and will want to continue reading the text. So possibly the king may be like us. If we're not praised, then maybe not so much interest in the text, and he just pick it up and then put it down. So I was of course only joking there about Nakajuna's intention. Rather, he is praising the king in that because he's actually rejoicing in the qualities that the king has. So he sees that the king is someone who's of course interested in self-betterment, but his motivation to improve himself is so that he can be of greater benefit to others. And then this is something that Nagarjuna rejoices in, and he's expressing his delight in that. And furthermore, he's also rejoicing in that the king has an interest in the Buddha Dharma, and an interest that isn't merely academic, but has the wish to engage in the practice or the cultivation, the inner development of the Buddha Dharma. So for these reasons, Nagarjuna is rejoicing and praising the king.
Karajina Danda, Gueva Dango, Jiwege, Tangwege, Gueva Carrier, Lamna, Gueva Carrier, Sunum Dulia, Pabe, Yang Tida, Sidder Carsorsen, Sunum Dulia, Sir. Tang he didn't treat Navidi, Soso Rangi, and Chig Semba Sambu Kunia Lange, and Yevolia, and Yevoda, and Yevu Kor, Chazan, a penna, and be a Samu Kunia Lange, Jibenza, and a Soso Sunum Sayatunda, Chichia.
So here Nagarjuna is again showing his motivation for composing the text. So he's composing this text so that the king and the king's companions can hear these teachings, study them, contemplate them, and thereby be of greater benefit to others. Through doing that, they will accumulate a tremendous amount of merit. So that's one reason, the primary reason why Nagarjuna is going to compose this text. And secondly, he himself, Nagarjuna, will also accumulate a tremendous amount of merit through composing this text. And therefore, for these reasons, he's going to compose this text.
This is the Nigi in the and Churongi di Loba in the and the Yahoo Yongres at Saint Birik said the Churona, Jigiris. Then Churong, Machingo, Churong, Maho Jode, Savaska, but in a need is Tigodi, Dona, my son, Jagi, Tinamlinki, Rimbada, Dinigi, Javi, Pembe, Javachi, and Rikti Zunta, and Churong in Nana Tigris, Lona Jigris.
Then the first line we have here, listen now to these few lines. Then this, what Nagarjuna here is saying is that this text he's written, is very condensed. It's a short text, it's not a vast and extensive volume, but it's short, 123 verses. So he's going to compose this short text, and actually there's nothing that's going to be new to the king within this, because what Nagarjuna is going to write is things which have all been previously taught by the Buddha and therefore recorded in the sutras. And so there's nothing new what's going to come, but there's also nothing omitted in that all the various levels of practice that one needs to engage in so as to attain the results of the beings of various capacities, they are all included here. So whilst it is a short text and you're not going to be hearing anything new, still, there is great benefit in listening to this teaching.
As
we've heard now, this text was written so that the king and his companions would be able to accumulate a tremendous amount of merit through reading this letter, cultivating the meaning in their mind and being of greater benefit to others. And also Nagarjuna himself would create a tremendous amount of virtue through composing this text. And when Nagarjuna composed this, he also, of course, had in mind those who in the future would come to read this text. So practitioners such as ourselves. So we should take this as advice for ourselves, that by ourselves hearing these teachings and then thinking about the meaning of these teachings, we too will give rise to these Dharma minds, we too will be of greater benefit to others, and in that way we too will accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue.
Ina gumbuluru kuron tomi ode ne delia mahon bana chiring delia su chi lo deni ge tanda sam da wa ina ne chi ge ya ko yong wa shos ne da tu me na yo ba da na wa za da nga zu lo wa che nga zu ya chi gumbuluru ne deni ge ne da chi mo pe ma je san yu chum den de ku ngue ro chi da chung wa ro in da nga zu mo chi ma zu na kuron ge song chi be ga zu ge delia ne pe chi lo ya chung go re chung wa da nga zu tanda sam da yo de ne gumbuluru kuron ge ne ma
We should also be aware that because we have this rare and precious opportunity to read a text and to hear teachings on a text actually composed by the Arya Nagarjuna, we are incredibly fortunate. And because the Nagarjuna was no ordinary being, he really was like a second Buddha. And now we have the fortunate situation where we can receive a teaching that in a sense is directly from him. So in this way we could actually consider ourselves as being the same as Nagarjuna's fortunate students.
Again,
I read the first two lines of the second verse. So as we know, the Buddha statues come in a wide variety of forms, and these will vary as well in terms of the preciousness of the materials that are used. So some are constructed from very precious materials such as gold and maybe covered in jewels, others maybe are constructed from silver or copper, and still others are made from wood. So the statues can differ in terms of the preciousness of the material that they're made. And furthermore, it's fair to say that not all craftsmen are equally skilled. Some are more talented and some may be less so. So there's quite a variety amongst the Buddha's or images of the Buddha.
Then he gave Kuga Nishine gibje gane ji dubi ge ina ya de ane gane sobda yaglu keba yena mena chada ane chebe yule cha chebe deba chen sanji kungu ge du shen chebe pu ge res ma do andi da ti chita ji ku de yaglu cha chebe pu la cha di shin ge gibje ya ku mena ma sha de din ji ma res
The meaning here is that someone who has an interest in the Buddha Dharma and a wish to cultivate virtue, to purify negativities and to accumulate good karma, such a person, when they see a representation of the Buddha, will not be concerned by the skill of the craftsperson or the material that was used, but rather with a mind of with honor and with respect, they will make offerings to the Buddha image, because they will have an understanding that in terms of the nature of the Buddha, there is no difference in the nature of the Buddha between various statues and the like. So therefore, the skill of the craftsperson or the preciousness or the value of materials used, this isn't so important. What is important is the motivation and the attitude that a practitioner has. So therefore, no matter what material and how skilled the craftsperson was, a person who's interested in accumulating virtue or has a wish to accumulate virtue and purify negativities will make offerings to a Buddha statue. So ourselves, we probably we do discriminate somewhat, and we'll if we see a number of statues of varying quality and craftsmanship, we will have a mind of discrimination, preferring one to the other. Rather, what we should be aware of such a mind of discrimination, and remind ourselves that we should relate to an image or representation of the Buddha as being an actual Buddha. And if we do so, no matter how what substance the statue was made from, the blessings of making offerings or showing respect to the Buddha image will be exactly the same. So the blessings that one will receive on one's continuum, whether it's an expensive and large statue or a small and maybe one that's not made so well statue, the blessings that one can potentially receive on one's continuum are exactly the same if one considers that the Buddhas are the same in terms of their entity and in their nature, and there is no and then one makes offerings or shows respect equally to both.
Yeah, the Kulia and Javachana and Sunam Chiba, Jibjil Kavayomar Samje, Kushandu Kable and Chiki Kyo at the Shamba and the Digomar, and or the Golote and Yayo.
So it is possible that some misunderstanding can come from this, in that if one is going to commission to have a statue built or to purchase a statue, then one may think, well, if between an expensive one and a cheap one, there's no difference in terms of the blessings that I can receive, as long as I see them as an actual Buddha, then I'll just buy the cheaper one. So this is a mistaken way to think, and this is taking it a little bit too far. Rather, one should either commission or purchase one in accordance with one's own resources. So if one is having some material difficulty and one can only afford a cheaper statue, then purchase a cheaper one. If one's situation is okay, then purchase or commission a more expensive one. What one should be striving for is not just to save some money and get a cheap one, but rather one that that one can relate to, that one will relate to with devotion and with respect and with honor. And to do so, then that statue should give rise to a mind of faith. So therefore, a statue that one sees as attractive, if one should purchase something like that, and one should have a good motivation of seeing a statue and seeing it as a worthy offering of homage, rather than thinking of it as being good value. I'm going to read the third and fourth line of the second verse.
That the Nadigar Songorson, Dijinella, she go to Pere, Bene, Dijinjiku, and the Shingdang, Sangdang, Yuganis Juadan, Yubi Chabar Yores, and the Delia, and Zobda Sukin Tone Yalu, who Yalu, Zobda Yalu, Chabar Yungures, Inea, the Niki, Kabanamki, Le Junjadan, Deva, Sisi to Yugan Tugi, and Chakan Chibi Yul, Chibichigan Chibi Yuzigan Mato, did do what is a disaster Yavachi Chigum Chigmades, and Pedinashi. That
The meaning of the second two lines is that, similar to the illustration above of how one should not discriminate between Buddha images in terms of the material craftsmanship, rather one should see that in nature the Buddha is the same, and therefore one will receive the same blessings. So similarly, the text that you are going to be reading here, this is written by myself, just an ordinary monk, so I'm no one special. So because I'm no one special, don't look down, don't have an attitude of this text being inferior and look down at it. Rather, remind yourself that the subject matter of this text is no different from the teachings from the Buddha himself. So what we have here, this short text in this condensed presentation, is the meaning of all the Buddha's sutras. So don't look down on this text. Don't think, oh, it's only written by a simple monk, and therefore I don't need to take what it says very seriously. Rather, remind yourself that through having a suitable attitude, an appropriate attitude, then you'll receive the blessings as if this teaching and this text was being delivered by the Buddha himself.
Yeah, that's the name of the Buddha. ね、チャラロジ、チビチゲね、ミケラチェンポチゲテバイな、オデシンアルジャソチパ、ダチムシュウゼ。で、カダロチロ、カダロチ。ね、ね、ジャオロムチゲカラチガンドルタテベな、ね、ま、チュペ、マシジカカラバ、ビジャボシュウセビ、ディレシュウワダ。ダ、ミジュマチゲカラチタテベな、ね、ダディカダタナマダナセンディディゲカラ、ウマロガスン。 미코론을 데라 이게 뒤에 나 가다라 켜봐 가요 말로 왔다. 지금 안쪽 이 연구로 왔다. 제가 되는 인사 찍디 개보래. 지금 개보 인사 그런 미 나 미 지금 개보에서 보고 친구로 왔다. 지금 미규마시 다 제가 미규마시 다 왔다. 지금 이게 뒤 다 통충으로 시작하게 내가 열어 왔다. 되는 저런 통충 시작이요 말해 곧 뛰어가서 저한테 야 통충 시작이요 말해서 뛰어도.
And actually, this advice here is something that's very appropriate to us, because we do discriminate in this way. If we receive something from someone who's famous or who's renowned, we will value it in a way that we wouldn't if we received the exact same item from someone else. So, for example, if we have the opportunity to meet His Holiness and we offer a kata to Him and we will receive it in return. This kata is something we're going to see as very precious and we'll put it on our shrine. But if we have a kata from another encounter, well, that will just get packed away somewhere. We will not see that same item in the same way because of the value we place on the person behind it. Or similarly, if we have our photograph taken with a famous sports person or they sign their name on something, we will value that greatly and we'll probably post pictures of it on social media and the like, and we'll be very proud of our encounter. And however, if we met someone else or someone else happened to sign, I don't know, our football or something, we wouldn't really value it in the same way. So therefore, this advice is actually very appropriate to us. And that we shouldn't look at this text and say, oh, it's just an ordinary text, it's just a lamrim text, it's just a small text, and look down on it or not value it in that way. Rather, we should see it as being a summarized presentation of all the Buddha Sutra teachings. So here Nagarjuna really is advising us not to take this text and put it aside and say, oh, this isn't so important, I should rather be aspiring for something grander. So this is a way of thinking that can all too easily arise, but we should value this text in an appropriate manner. Nagarjuna composed this abbreviated text in a manner that is actually very easy to understand. If you just read the verses, meaning arises. And this isn't necessarily the same with all the Buddha sutras. So here what you have is an abbreviated presentation that is also very easy to understand. So bear this in mind whilst we're going through this text. Tonight's our first night, but there will be many more classes on this text. That not to think that, oh, this is just a simple text, or it's not the words of the Buddha himself, or it's not one of the very famous texts by Nagarjuna and the like. Not to think like that, but you rather see this text for what it is, a clear, abbreviated presentation of all the Buddha's sutra teachings. Some people may already be doing this to some degree, is at the start of our class we recite the Heart Sutra. So if people have studied the Heart Sutra, or rather studied Dharma well, then when they read the Heart Sutra, a lot of meaning will appear from this very short sutra. But if one hasn't had the opportunity to study well, then either not so much meaning will appear, or the meaning may seem a little strange. So for example, the text says no ear, no eye, no nose, etc. Now, this can easily be misunderstood and thought as a bit bizarre, because of course, we have ears, we have eyes, we have nose. But the text, the words of the Buddha clearly say, no eye, no ear, no nose. So seeing the strange text, one may just put it aside. And so that is possible. That would come from not having studied extensively beforehand, or not having had the opportunity to study extensively beforehand. Whereas if one has studied well, then one reads an abbreviated text, and a lot of meaning appears. So for example, one would read no ear, no eye, and one would immediately understand that it means no truly existent eye, no truly existent ear, no truly existent nose. And in this way, as one progresses through the text, the meaning would be so much deeper because of one's previous studies. So again, look at this text and be aware that there is a tremendous amount of meaning buried beneath these few words.
That dip mango or washing and mango, she then Lama Matemba, Dipnal Mato, Loshe, Jeez, Loshe, Donda, sometimes Yamlin Chevena, that did not do talk about how to go, mother. Chesna, how Mato Ainza, and Delia Notusia again in Achagorba. Chesna, the Notu Marshall talk about how to do that, Lama Tenga, so to dip Loshe, and Yamlin Chedin, Digorba. Chesna, the name Mashing Wanda, two maids, that Lama Chitambo called Yamlin Chee, and the calls you love John Chee. Dahas and Nyamyo Shira made you can Dine Lamadil, Lamadilla, Nichi Gohadamansuroda, Dinegi, and Sosu Kevin Druya, Dine Laman, Digmares, Chisan Lamadilla, Masig, Yenden Dinesh Deba Kugure said, Kissing Yamas, Lamu and the Lemrim Kabla Sheva, Nada, Kissing Lamu and then Dinish Kugure said, Dinegi and then using a Lamadigi,
Furthermore, this, what is being expressed here should remind us of the reason why the texts always say it's important to have a spiritual friend, to have a teacher. And the reason is because there's a vast number of texts composed by the Buddha himself, or taught by the Buddha himself and composed by the Buddha's students. And we know that these need to be studied, clearly understood, and then meditated on. But where to start? And how to understand the meaning correctly? And how to dispel all the doubts that will come, or potential mistakes or misunderstandings that come about? It's not really possible to do this on one's own. And therefore, one requires a teacher. And the teacher being someone who has a number of qualities, and in particular, they themselves have both studied and had the opportunity not just to study, but to contemplate or meditate on the meaning of the texts. Because then such a teacher is qualified to lead one in an unmistaken manner, so that one too can give rise to realizations in one's own continuum. And recently, or a few months ago, when we were looking at this in Words to My Perfect Teacher, there it was clearly mentioned all the qualities that a teacher should have. So one should rely on a teacher not based on their reputation, but rather on their specific qualities. And in that way, a good result will come. All of us sitting here, we can read, so we can access these many books that have been translated, and we can read them, and we'll have some understanding. But if that is the limit of one's exposure, then it will be very difficult to give rise to an unmistaken understanding of a text, let alone bring about a lasting change within one's own mind, in other words, the development of realizations. So in the same way that if one was going to travel somewhere new, one would make sure that one had a map, and preferably also a guide, so someone who had been there before and knew about all the potential pitfalls and where it's better to go and where to avoid, etc. In the same way, when it comes to cultivating the minds of the Buddha Dharma, here we should rely on someone who has cultivated these minds within themselves. Because in that way, our training will go well, and we too will give rise to realizations.
The digal babje chadile, digal langsa lagore.
Is it lang? How come it's
lang? langs ne kangbe gang ba xing da yo di ming bu ye langs ya zhe go de zhe de di gang ya de che ne ba de gen duo tang su de ne de gen ji di ge la lang cha la go de zhe da lang cha se de ne la go de en pang cha se de ne la go de zhe de ko len de ne ja wa de zhe de
de ne person sa ba zhong ye ne di la ken su de
la ma chi ji ji duo mi chi la ko che gi che luo xing go de chen ji da de ne ge chu duan da le lu zhong ma xie ru wa
So there's a story here about a lama in the past who wasn't educated, but he was considered a lama, and he had students, and his students one day asked him, what are the objects of abandonment, and what are the objects to be adopted? So the teacher, not being educated, he could only make a guess based on the words. So here we all need to go between the Tibetan and the English. So the objects of abandonment are pangja. So the word for the word pang in colloquial Tibetan is a plane, and ja is a bird. So his description of the objects to be abandoned, well, it's birds landing on a plane. And then the objects to be adopted or cultivated, engaged in. So this is langja. So again, in Langcha then will be literary Tibetan, but in colloquial, which is what this uneducated teacher knew, the lung are wooden beams like on that you'd have on a roof, and then again is a bird. So what needs to be cultivated are birds arriving or landing on beams on the roof.
现在这里几个人 Lama当言
And then a different teacher was asked the same question, and his reply was, well, I don't really know much about the Dharma, but I have at least received many teachings. So what I have heard is that the objects of abandonment are the afflicted minds, and the objects to be adopted, this is virtue. So here the teacher was at least able to correctly identify what the objects of abandonment are. He wasn't talking about birds landing on a plane. And he knew what the objects to cultivate or adopt were. Again, he wasn't talking about birds landing on beams on the roof. So this was someone who maybe hadn't had the opportunity to meditate and contemplate, but he had received many teachings, so therefore he did have some knowledge that he could share.
Di
what we see with these two teachers is the one wasn't educated, and therefore he wasn't able to give an accurate answer at all. In fact, he spoke nonsense. And moreover, he hadn't cultivated the humility to admit this openly. The other person, who maybe hadn't had the opportunity to contemplate the teachings, at least had knowledge, and therefore could share the knowledge with humility and correctly correctly guide others. So here we can also see the potential faults that come if one tries to educate oneself on one's own, because the misunderstandings will follow. But through studying, and especially through contemplating, then an unmistaken understanding will arise.
And again, let's read
the third verse.
Tuba chenpo siti tuba lamna drajumba lakore tuba lamde karsana nyumomba drad maa bangche ane dele gyawan zang tuba ngazo jikke maa rakyabne paasi chom tubna di ngay tubre sikro tubre ngay tubre sikro wada ngay tubson lakirwa chesa tuba siti tuba jikba tuba lamde chesa nyumomba drad maa chomche dele wong bang wang zang dele ane bangbe drajumba di yele ming tuba lakwa tuba
Tuba chimbo, The term that we have here in the second line, Mighty Buddha. So here the commentary starts out by explaining this term, Mighty Buddha. So the term that is translated here as Buddha Tupa can also mean foe destroyer. So what is the meaning of either of a foe destroyer? This is someone who has abandoned or destroyed the foe of the afflictions. So a foe destroyer or an arhat is someone who's completely eliminated all the afflictions, the enemy that is the afflictions. And then when it's put together with this word great, we have here Mighty Buddha. So then this shows that not only has the being overcome the afflictions completely, or in other words, completely overcome the afflicted obscurations or the obscurations to liberation, but they have also overcome the obscurations to omniscience, and therefore are a Buddha, an actual Buddha, not an ordinary foe destroyer, but an actual fully enlightened Buddha. And that is the meaning behind what we have here as Mighty Buddha.
Then tuba chenpyo kani nyen gu shin si di tuba chenpyo sanje chumnen di ki do sung ka di ki pe nyen gu si di pe cik nyen bu ane gu shik si di pe gu yang bu chenpyo jia chenpyo si go re sanje ki sung pe jia chenpyo shi wu shi ne ane yo re es.
Then the second bit we have of our second line, many lovely words. So this then refers to the vastness of the Buddhist teachings. Then for us, the first line, while you have surely learnt and understood. So here Nagarjuna is saying to the king that you have already come to quite some understanding of the Buddha Dharma. So probably what I'm going to explain and or present in this text is not going to be anything new for you.
Mm. gungde niwe ki chekar ni du jide mi ji la sa da 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 jiso na da da sa do ga ma ru ba si de ni ji pe ka bo ya bo ji kang ba du se sha ba ina ane ni me bo tu ji dan ko do ga ma ru bo de pe ma su we ka bo ru si ka tin de ji ro ba ta ma ka tin ji ro ba ye ba kang le ya ni me sha ji ni me we se po wa du ji le we chi jin pe zha ba chi ma ni ji xiu cha go le si.
And then the third and fourth line are a it's an illustration presented here by Nagarjuna. So a large, a beautiful house that has been whitewashed is of course going to be very white, but in the brilliance of a full moon, then it is going to glow even whiter. So here the knowledge and understanding of the Buddha Dharma that the king already has is likened to a whitewashed mansion, so a beautiful home. But just like a beautiful home will glow even more brightly in the light of a full moon, then so too will the king's understanding of the Buddha Dharma grow and shine through hearing the presentation from Nagarjuna. So what it means here is that the king's not necessarily going to hear anything new, but by hearing it again, the understanding he already has is going to grow. And not only will it become vaster, but it will become more stable within his mind. The advice that then has been given here is that when the king reads his text, or in our case we hear these teachings, we should listen carefully, even when we're hearing a subject matter that we already have heard teachings on. In that, by hearing them again and hearing the presentation again and again, the meaning that we've heard previously will arise within us, and it will arise more clearly. So our understanding will become clearer. And this understanding now will also become more stable in our mind. And what that means is that our mental habits will start to change. Our way of thinking and dealing with our interactions with others, these will change. So this is what will come about through hearing these teachings again. And then also, take away from the class, we also think about the meaning of the text. Because what Nagarjuna is advising the king here is to read the text, think about the meaning, do these two together.
And
Thus far we've seen Nagarjuna communicate three things to the king. So firstly he said, for you, O king, I'm going to compose this text for you to read and contemplate. Then secondly he said to the king that you are a king of a kingdom, I'm just an ordinary monk, but don't look down on me just because I'm an ordinary monk and not someone of an equal status to yourself. And then thirdly, he said to the king that I recognize that you have great interest in the Buddha Dhamma and you've already heard many teachings and have understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Nevertheless, this text will still be of great benefit for you. So don't think that this text isn't of benefit because you already know or have already heard these topics. By hearing these teachings again or reading these teachings again, you'll remember, you'll recall your previous understanding, and this will now become clearer for you, it will become more stable for you, and it will become more powerful within your mind.
That the Gombo Lurgi and Gibola Sunganashin, the Tangazo Dinara Sunjigate, that Dinazo Limrimango Shure, Chu, Bejimango, Chimango Shusare, that Tiglo Goyama, Yomar Samsam, that Yomasiva Marwa, Muruva, the Dinizam, and Dinizam Diamares, Chisan Susuki Kate, Limrin Lopjon Chigo, that Diniki Chimango Changi, the Lobaina, the Sile Masha, Singla Mashavina, Dinit Lochian, Sangma Sibo Hagutuya, Kebayungure.
This advice that Nagarjuna gives to the king here, of course, as we know, we should take this as if the advice was coming from Nagarjuna to us personally. So I know many of you have received many teachings on the Lamrim, certainly in our time here we've had several teachings on the Lamrim. So guard your mind against any thought that comes, oh, I've heard this before, oh, I know what this is about. Guard your mind against the arisal of such thoughts, and that may come now or may come in the coming months when we study this. Because if we listen and we hear the teaching on topics that we've already heard teachings on, our firm understanding will arise, and it will be mixed with the new presentation, and thereby become clearer, more stable, and more powerful within us. And the result of that is, our virtuous mental habits, our virtuous way of thinking, this will come about more strongly and more stably.
And Adinigida, Manju Pichiro, Shitinida, the Nick Pichiro, and in the Manju, Kumuluki, soon you will soon delay a low years, Chesan, Kumuki to Shit, Sanji, that Kumulu Koro soon and soon, the Sanji Koro soon, Chesan, Kumulu Kumui in San Pigida, Manzo, most of Tumumen and also Dundi Yuji Antolia, Lapti Gavi, San Pigi Meva Chesia, and the Shin Yamna Chabaina.
What I just said there has summarized much of what we've looked at this evening. And just to remind ourselves here that in the same way we had the illustration earlier about how not to, that we should want, in the same way that one wouldn't discriminate between images of a Buddha, independent on the material that they were crafted from or the skill of the craft person. In the same way, we shouldn't discriminate against the text, thinking that it's not my favorite author, or it's not a very famous text, it doesn't have a big name, etc. We should guard our mind against that way of thinking, because the purpose of this text and the result that comes from engaging it with a text such as this is that the problems that we experience continuously, these problems will start to be eliminated. And this will come about due to the accumulation of virtue that comes from studying this text and thinking about the meaning, as well as the purification of non-virtue, of negativities, that comes about through hearing these teachings and thinking about these teachings. So by engaging in this text with an open mind, and not the mind that is not critical, then one will accumulate great benefit. And if one mixes it with an understanding that this is a text composed by Aryanagarjuna, and now I have the great fortune of hearing this text as if he was here in person, then believing that his mind, he himself, were present here, then understanding and realization of this text will come about so much more easily.
In my that Jikosuya, that in my own Kosuya Dambo, that's on ye Jitan Juk said, Jitan Juk didn't my Kosuya.
Then I can't you should get a pay, I'm going to say. So then tomorrow we'll continue. We'll start with the fourth verse, which is about six things that one should keep in mind. So we'll start there tomorrow morning. Are there some questions? Because we have some time. No questions then? Oh wait, here's one. Yes, Steve.
The very top says Manjugosha.
Hmm.
Can you explain about
Manjugosha? Can Gina say something on Manjugosha? Gina, then he pre talked about Yumare, you know, not so soon the lecture ketchik, the Manjugosha segere, then he pelted the Peljam in Sale.
So in
the Tibetan, in the Tibetan they have the Tibetan, not the Sanskrit. So that was Jampel. So here we have. Did we have any English for it, or just the Sanskrit? So it's Gena didn't say anything about it, but it's gentle voice or something similar to that. Here we go, gentle and glorious, or gentle and glorious youth. You could say the Pel. No, the Pel is not there. The gentle and glorious. So we have it in English, the Manjugosha. So you could say it's homage to Manjugosha.
Manjugosha.
Oh, Manjushri, sorry.
Oh,
Manjushri. It's another name. Manjushri. It's another name for Manjushri. Okay. Thank you. Until tomorrow.
Yeah.